This program is made possible by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening. Hello again, and welcome to the Uncensored Dads, the Uncensored Word podcast. With me, as always, is Brother Matt Olson from the Chipman Rural Congregation there in Lee Summit, Missouri, and myself, Russ Earl, from the Ooligah Church of Christ here in Ooligah, Oklahoma. We thank you for tuning in today. We've been looking at the topic, basically looking at the topic of happiness and how to be happy and how to avoid unhappiness and things that can cause us to lose focus and to dwell on things and really rob us of happiness. And last time we looked at really looking how in the past we've been looking at blessings, how blessings outweigh our troubles. We looked at how the Bible is a great encourager. And today we're going to pick up where we left off last time, looking at how we should not dwell on the past. We talked about this from Luke chapter 12, and also we looked at how in Psalm 103, and I'm going to read this here for just a moment so I get back over there. Psalm 103, and looking at verse 12, the Bible, well, there we go, come on, Psalm 103, my phone will cooperate. Psalm 103 and verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." And so as we talk about the past is a past, we have to realize that when we do repent, when we make ourselves right with God, and we ask those who we've sinned against to forgive us, then those things are cast away. Those things are removed from us. He says here, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And so if it is sin that haunts us, as we mentioned last time, we should know that if we repented, then God has removed that blot from our lives. And that really should be a very comforting thought, knowing that God has removed those things from us. But as we mentioned last time, it's easy to allow Satan to bring up things that we have done in the past. Like Matt and I discussed last time, you know, sometimes you get to thinking, well, you remember when you did this? You remember when you did this? And we have to make sure we don't allow that to happen. And, of course, that's always much easier said than done. Because, you know, I was thinking about this week, or, you know, yesterday and last week when we talked about this, how, you know, if Satan can convince you that if he can keep you focused on your past sins, he can keep you from being productive in the future. If you look at Acts 9, verse 26 and 27, here the Bible says, "When Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple." Now, they were afraid of Saul. This is who would become Paul later. They were afraid of him, and for good reason. He was until his conversion, he was a massive, you know, persecutor of the church. And so when he was converted, and this isn't saying his conversion was not legitimate, because it was, but they were afraid of him because of his past. They thought that he was just trying to get in close to see how many people he could bring in and then take them all to prison. You know, there's all types of things they could have been thinking. But they believed, because they knew his past, that they thought he wasn't truly a disciple. In verse 27, the Bible says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles." So Barnabas took him, right? Well, Barnabas was a faithful follower of God. They all knew who Barnabas was. And so here comes Barnabas, who is a trusted brother, and says what? He brings him into them, there in verse 27, to the apostles. Notice what happens. "And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road," that is how Saul had done this, "and he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Now, you know, up until this point, you know, could Saul make up the idea that he met Christ on the road to Damascus? Yeah, he could make that up. But Barnabas says here in verse 27, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Well, even when he preaches boldly in the name of Jesus, especially during the time of the apostles and the place where they're at, you were putting yourself in, you know, giving yourself the opportunity to be heavily, heavily persecuted. And so no doubt, as they heard that Paul had done this, or Saul had done this, that changed things. And, well, they know his past, yes, but now they also see that something has changed. You know, whether we're talking about someone who as a new convert, we want to not be focused on their past, but because a new convert is just that, they're a new person in Christ. Paul tells those in Rome that they are a new creature in Christ. They are to rise up in newness of life. That is a new person. Someone who is a Christian has made a mistake in sin, but they have repented of it. What do? Do we keep bringing up their past? Do we keep saying, well, you know, do we keep talking about their errors? We shouldn't. I think that's one of the tools of Satan, is he tries to get us to keep talking about someone else's mistakes. And I often think about, boy, how would I like that if someone did that? Sure. I remember once I was talking to a brother, and this was years and years ago. And I said, well, you know, some people were talking about this person doing this, you know, back when. And he said, you know, I would hate it if someone brought up my mistake or lapse of judgment 20 years ago. And I thought, good point. he was right. He was spot on. And so we have to remember, you know, our past is just that. It is our past. Now I'm going to stop there for just a moment and let Matt add anything he'd like as we continue looking at this topic.
Yeah, for sure. Going on with Acts 9, 26, 27, you can go to Acts 22, 17, 18. And it says, now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, It was Christ, right? Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. Why weren't they receiving Saul's testimony? There was a lot of people that were scared, right? And there was a lot of people scared, like you said, of his past. There's a lot of people that are scared of their past. But if we repent of those things that we've done in the past, they're washed away. You know, and I know some people worry about, well, what about come Judgment Day? Well, they're washed. God remembers them not, no more, right? So we have to put off the past. We have to realize that the past is a past, you know, and the present is a present. It's a gift from God, right? And the future, okay, we kind of hold the keys, right, to the future, basically, you know? I mean, but we have to learn to put off the things of old, of the past, put them away, and do them no more. So, and I believe that's what the disciples had a hard time, because they saw Paul persecuting, right? Or you see somebody who, take for instance my family, right? I am the only Christian in my family. They've seen the things I've done before I became a Christian, and they can't get that out of their head, right? They still think, well, you used to do this, that, this. I don't do those things anymore, you know? They hold on to the past. I'm not. You know, mm-hmm. You try not to, but like you said, the devil just comes in and just tries to throw those things back in your face and puts people kind of stumbling blocks in the way, right?
So. Now, you know, I think sometimes, like you said, you know, the Satan does these things. I think sometimes we're not careful. We allow ourselves to underestimate the ability that Satan has to mess with people. And I think also we think about not dwelling in the past, one of the biggest things to overcome is the thoughts of our mind. You know, yes, we can have sinful thoughts, but also we can have thoughts of being focused on what we've done in the past, you know, to what we've been discussing. Satan will allow him to get into our mind in various ways in which he can cause us to doubt and to worry about things and to dwell on things. And we underestimate Satan. But moving on to our next point here, you know, the thing about not dwelling in the past, there's really another aspect of this. Yes, we don't want to dwell on the sins of the past as we have repented of them, but also, we don't want to be those who are missing the joy, the so-called joys of the sinful life before someone was converted. You know, if it's the joys of the past that we miss, well, we cannot relive the past. We must live in today. And really, we should try to have the mindset that we don't miss it. You know, we think, oh, yeah, I had fun. But why did we have fun? Were we having fun because we were out partying? We have fun because we were out watching these movies you shouldn't be watching, or because we're using foul language, we're having fun because we're out fornicating, or doing those things. And really, we shouldn't look back on that thinking, oh, I missed that. We should look back on that thinking, boy, I'm glad I got out of that. I'm glad I don't do that anymore. Because whatever joys or pleasures we got out of those things, they were sinful. Now, if they weren't sinful, then we don't have to miss them, you know. If we had a game night before, you know, you were converted, and we say, well, I can't have a game night now. Well, why not? If you're not doing anything sinful, what's the big deal? But we shouldn't allow ourselves to say this in quotes, to miss that sinful life. But it is a temptation because if we're in the workplace, especially, over out in public, and we're shopping or whatever, and you run into someone who you used to spend time with, sometimes they want you to feel guilty and to miss those former things that you did. And we really shouldn't. You know, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless." And what I want to focus on here is the idea is in verse 13 and 14, they're both about looking ahead, looking forward, not looking back. You know, Christ says, you know, he who puts his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And that's exactly right. We can't be trying to plow forward for God, and the whole time we're looking back thinking, boy, I missed that. You look at verse 14. He says here, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent." And what he's talking about these things is looking forward to heaven, basically. "Be diligent to be found by him." Now notice, "in peace, without spot, and blameless." What does that mean? To be found by Christ, and when we're found by Christ, we're not found, you know, living in sin. I'm not saying we're going to be found perfect by Christ, but when we have sin in our life, we repent of it, that we're found blameless by Christ. So we're found by him in peace, without spot, and what? And blameless. And so that's what we want to do. We want to be found by Christ as blameless, those who are not looking back at the old life and missing it. And I'm going to stop there, let Matt add anything he'd like.
Well, we shouldn't become complacent in our lives, right? We shouldn't become because Christ hasn't returned. Instead, we should be eager. We should live in eager expectation, like, of his coming, right? We should be, like, eager and joyful. And a couple of verses I've written down was Philippians 3, 13 through 14. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press forward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Another one is Galatians 2, 20 through 21. We all know that one. It's a song, right? "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." You know, we need to quit living in the past and live for them. I guess I don't like this saying either, but live for the moment. What I think about that is see the joys in your life, because see the joys that you have. Because if you get caught up in all the worries and the things of the past, or even the worries of the present, you miss the joys that are right in front of you. You know, you miss all that, and it's such a sad thing. And we all get trapped in it too. But we also need to realize that look at the joys that you've had. I mean, we're only here for a vapor, right? What's a vapor? It's like a poof. It's like a minute, right? Mm-hmm. So let's live every minute as Christ would want us to live. And just look forward, right? And kind of like you said, like if you were to be in a plow and you're constantly looking backward behind you, right? Where do you know where you're going? If we drive a car that way, how's that going to work? You know, I mean, mm-hmm. We got to look forward. We got to look towards what we're going to and not keep looking back behind us. Right. Kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel. If you're running and you keep looking back, you're never going to see the light. Right. I mean, it's just, and I got another one. Isaiah 43, 18 through 19 says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of the old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." So he's telling us to get rid of the former things. Look to what I have. That's what he tried to tell the Israelites too, right? Look forward to what I'm promising you, the promised land, right? There's so much out there that we can gain. So that's very important.
You know, I think sometimes when we talk about looking back at the past, especially for adults, you know, a lot of times we talk about this kind of stuff and people think, well, you're talking about, you know, college age, you're talking about youth. No, we're talking about adults. We're talking about people who are grown people. And, you know, I say this all the time, grown people, and I include myself in this because I make mistakes, sure. There's no doubt in that. But, you know, I think about those who try to, they talk about this, their simple activities. And they're not talking about, well, they're not talking about like, well, I need to stop this. They're talking about, you know, there's no problem with it. They're talking about those who go out and they find out, they find joy in all these things. And there's so many things that people find joy in that I think, to me, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but to me, it sounds very childish. You know, this idea of, you know, the weekend's coming, it's going to be, you know, I'm so really relaxed, I'm going to go grab some beer. And every time I see people do that at the gas stations, I just think, really? I don't, you know, there was a time, and to be honest, it was very short-lived for multiple reasons, that I did drink. It didn't last very long. The first time you get sick and the other nastiness that comes with it, you really tend to rethink things. Now I wasn't even a Christian, and that was years before I became a Christian. But there's so much that we look at in the past, and we'd say, well, I missed that. I think, you know, it's childish to act that way. It's childish to miss some of those things and to say, well, you know, convince yourself or to act in such a way to say that, you know, unless I'm doing this, I'm not having fun or I'm not really doing what's going to bring me joy. Now, think about, I say all that to say this. Look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. Notice what the Apostle Paul says here. He says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. It means when he was younger, he thought in certain ways. He found he had a certain mindset, a certain way he thought about things. But then notice what he says next. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now this, you hear a lot of politicians take this way out of context and use it. But the idea here is that when he was younger, he thought a certain way. But when he became a man, he stopped doing those things. And he says, I put away childish things. Things that, you know, that can include not only sinful things, but just also things that are not worth your time and effort. You know, what people today fill themselves up with to bring them joy is amazing. You know, I still do a lot of silly things. I watch movies from time to time. I watch, you know, I play video games from time to time, and those are childish, but I don't feel like I do it so much that that's all I do. That's all I live for. You know, that's the only way I can find joy, because it's not. There's so many other ways in which we can find joy and happiness. But we have to think about how we're spending our time, you know, looking forward and looking what can bring us happiness. And really, we need to try our very best to look at what's going to bring happiness that's going to last more than just a moment. We're doing a lesson or a series of lessons on Hosea, and I've been going through the Minor Prophets on Sunday evening. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But in Hosea, I was talking about this on Sunday night, and I talked about how Hosea, you know, or how Israel, their faithfulness was being compared, and God gave the illustration there through Hosea that their faithfulness was like a fog or morning dew that didn't last through the morning. And I think about that too, with happiness. It's the same way. People use to find happiness, it's so short-lived. You know, it only lasts through the, you know, their joy lasts to the night, and then in the morning it's gone, and they have to deal with all the repercussions of it. You know, if you go out with Christian friends, and you go out and you have a meal, and you go out and you go to, say, to a coffee shop, and then you go to someone's house and you play games and you watch a movie or something like that, you know, in the morning you're gonna wake up with no regrets. You're not going to wake up hungover. You're not going to wake up thinking, where am I at? How did I get here? You may wake up thinking, I should have had that last piece of cake, but I've never had that problem. But the point I'm making is the actions of Christians do not bring regrets, while the actions of the world most often do bring regrets. And I'm going to stop there and let Matt add anything he'd like.
Well, like, your point here is, a Christian should have no desire to turn back to sin or back to the world, right? Mm-hmm. We should never have that desire to, like you said, want to go back to drinking. It makes you feel horrible. I've done it myself before I became a Christian. I've done a lot of things before I was a Christian. And, you know, and as a Christian, you're going to mess up. But you, as you said, you put off the childish things and, you know, kind of like, I forget where it's at, but it talks about the milk, right? I want to be fast. I want to get the meat. I want to get the meat and potatoes of the Bible. I want to dive in and find out, how can I better become a better Christian? How can I become a better husband? How can I become a better father, a friend? And how can I do those things? And the Bible tells us, right here it says, you know, put off the childish things. But we need to have that desire to not turn back or not. I mean, you could have friends that are in the world that aren't Christians, and you see them do things and you're like, wow, Why are you doing that? Oh, man, this is awesome. You know, but it's not awesome. I'm sorry, it's not awesome to go green. It's not awesome to, hey, this is great. You know, wake up with a hangover. That's not an awesome feeling, guys. You know, I mean, we just need to be strong in our faith and not turn back. Or it's kind of like moving ahead. Like I said, the light at the tunnel is Christ. I don't want to turn back into the darkness again. You know, you want to always stay focused on the light.
Mm-hmm. So we are going to stop there today. We are right out of time there. And so when we come back next week, we're going to hopefully conclude looking at this section on happiness. And here in about 2 weeks, our lesson, our program actually is going to be extended because we are looking at broadcasting not only on Bible Way Media, but also on the Gospel Radio Network, TGRN.org. And so you'll be able to hear us at 9 o'clock on TGRN.org as well. And then I believe they replay it every 12 hours later. So we'll be on at 9 a.m. in the morning and then again at 9 p.m. And so you'll be able to hear us twice there as well. And so if you miss us one place, you can hear us somewhere else. So
catch us when you go to sleep.
That's right. Well, we do thank you for being with us today. Hope to see you again next time here on Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word. Thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Bible Way Media by visiting us at BibleWayMedia.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We thank you for listening.